The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, what is the most important quality of any politician? A certain nonchalance, perhaps? Well, that is the view of Stephen Collins, political columnist with the Irish Times. Good evening to you, Stephen. This is very interesting, and your piece was excellent about the different qualities that we like or we respect or we want in a politician, and they aren't all down to competence, leadership or anything like that.
No, they're not. I think it's the ease with which people handle the job, I think, is actually crucial. I was citing Andy Burnham vis-a-vis Keir Starmer as an example. Burnham has taken over. He looks confident. He stood outside Downing Street. He didn't have any prompters, didn't have any script. He spoke for 10 minutes, exuding confidence and optimism. And the contrast with poor old Starmer, who was always ill at ease, who was, I'm sure, every bit as bright as Andy Burnham, but he just didn't convey the impression that he was a leader. Now, I then quoted a famous Italian medieval scholar who talked about nonchalance and the ability to disguise the art of being in politics, because it's a very tough business, a really hard life and a hard game. But some people can just carry it off. They can give the impression that it all comes so easy to them. And I think that is the crucial aspect of being a political leader. I quoted Bill Clinton as somebody who had that kind of ability in spades. People could just identify with them. He could understand people, or could give the impression that he understood their concerns. Now, of course, as I go on to say, that doesn't always last. That's not enough of a quality to carry you through leadership. But if you don't have it, it's very, very hard to get the confidence of the public and to get the confidence of your own political party, for that matter.
Yeah, you made the very valid comparison with Boris Johnson, who was considered affable, charismatic even, but the competence level may not have matched that level of, I suppose, likability that he was considered to have had at one stage.
Yeah, he had the likability. He was able to win a decisive majority in an election. He showed political ruthlessness in the way he got rid of Theresa May and took over. But then his own lack of seriousness, I think, came back to haunt him. And his lack of ability, his lack of focus and concentration on the goals that he'd set himself. And this, I think, is where we don't know how Andy Burnham is going to turn out. He's taken over. He has started very well. And he made a couple of nice gestures that will appeal to people, cutting VAT, on electricity bills and so on. But whether or not he has the stomach for the really tough fight ahead, that only time will tell. But I think the start is important, and at least he's got off on the right foot.
Stephen, does he have a bit of a wind at his back anyway? Because comparison is always present in politics, and indeed Starmer probably rose to leadership without huge charisma because he was different and offered, I suppose, an alternative to Corbyn and to the Corbynite version of Labour. And so people at that point were hoping for that, perhaps. And now what we're seeing in Burnham is a difference to Starmer. Does that kind of favour him as well a little bit?
I think it does favour him. Starmer did well in opposition. He then won a huge majority on a small enough share of the vote. But when he took over as Prime Minister, he didn't actually rise to the occasion.
No.
I think Burnham has taken over, and certainly the initial... His initial enthusiasm, his initial confidence and optimism, I think, has shown that he's capable of rising to the occasion. But then he's going to have to follow that up with tough decisions.
Sure.
I think that is what will sort out the leader. But we've had experience in our own country of some politicians who can carry it off, some who might have all the ability but can't. They don't give off the right impression when they're leader. And it's a very difficult thing to pull off, to have the right policies and to have the right personality to carry those policies through. Sometimes people can know what needs to be done and can actually bring in the right policies, but fail to convince people about what the necessity for doing what needs to be done. So this is where it's going to
Spin, sorry, Stephen, I didn't mean to cut across you, but Spin, as it was called back in the day of Alistair Campbell and Tony Blair, was a new sort of version of politics about selling the politician and the politician's policies to people. And it has always existed in forms, but it was sort of named at that time. I'm thinking of that today when I see Number 10, The North, and all of those things. The novelty, it's fresh, it's new, all of these ideas, they strike me as marketing as much as politics.
Yes, and certainly you're absolutely right. Tony Blair, came in, and the spin was huge. He had the personality to carry it off. But interestingly, I met back in the 90s during the peace process, Tony Blair and John Major. Now, John Major, when he appeared on television, was the grey man.
Yeah.
He didn't really have the charisma. In person, John Major was far more impressive than Tony Blair. I found Major thoughtful, considerate. We could allow along a group of Irish journalists. We met him a couple of times. You could talk to him for an hour. He knew the detail of policy. We met Tony Blair, and Tony Blair had broad brush strokes, but no interest in going into any detail. It was, hi guys. He gave a little speech and then hopped off again. So the interesting thing was, when you meet them in person, sometimes the public image is very different.
Yeah.
But Blair could carry it off, and Blair won 3 elections in a row, which was a phenomenal thing to do, particularly for a Labour leader. So he had that ability to present himself, and maybe the artifice that to give an impression of being a kind of a person that maybe he wasn't.
Yeah, the style over substance, perhaps. I am mindful of the new era that politics is having to operate within, the one where social media is there. I do sort of feel that irrespective of how popular they are, at some point they will be torn down, ultimately, all of them. And that is because there's a kind of a damned if they do and damned if they don't element, I think, out there. And I know you were talking about the 16th century Italian diplomat Baldassare, I might get his name wrong, Castiglione, but
yeah,
he was pre-democratic eras. Do you know what I mean? And I kind of wonder, are we going to end up with the politicians that we deserve? And I don't say that in a good way, Stephen, in that we will get politicians who are able to play us, and that's who we're actually going to get. Because, as you say, substance like the John Major, it didn't carry through in a time of television and social media and all of those things. We want something flashier, perhaps.
Yes, we do want something flashier. And well, going back to, you're absolutely right, in the Italian Castiglione, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but it's just the quote struck me as being as being very apposite. But in those days, they weren't democratic, but you could lose your head if you took the wrong decision. So it was very important to present yourself well. Nowadays, you lose office. So yeah, social media has, of course in politics. Personally, my view is politicians pay far too much attention to it.
Yeah.
I know you can't ignore it, but I think they really just need to forget about it insofar as they can, to focus on governing. The people who are interested, who are abusing them on social media, have no interest in good government anyway. But the public, over time, can appreciate what politicians are trying to do. I know the social media thing makes it very hard for them.
Yeah, I think exactly right, actually. But I think some of them, and many of them probably, are kind of craven to it.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're following it. They're trying to appease people on social media, which I think is a complete waste of time. Now, I speak as somebody, I'm not on social media. I've never done it because I'm of a certain age. And I decided, when I wrote a column in the Irish Times, which I still write, the abuse I used to get on the comments section, which the paper itself carried in the online version, was so appalling. I decided I'm not going to suffer that same abuse by signing myself for social media. I'm not going to volunteer for it.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's made no difference to me. In fact, what it means is nobody that I know, none of my neighbours ever bother with social media. So I know I'm of a certain age, so I can afford to do that. But I think even younger people, I was talking to a sportsman the other day, a top flight hurler, and I was telling him, just forget about what's on social media. And he was saying he knows, but he said, unfortunately, all his own contemporaries, they're all reading it. So he needs to know what they're saying about him. And that depresses him and warps his view of the world. So, but I think certainly our political leaders just need to cut it off and just do the job. And ultimately, there was the famous statement by Enoch Powell that all political careers end in failure. Now, they don't all end in failure, but ultimately, you have a shelf life in politics. The public are tired of you. You know, very few can win three elections in a row like Tony Blair or like Bertie Ahern. Bertie had that ability to convince people
if you want to be
likeable, the fella next door.
If you want to be loved, you're in the wrong profession if you're a politician.
Look, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Stephen. It's a really interesting piece you had in the Irish Times. That is political columnist with the Irish Times there, Stephen Collins.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.